Okay, good afternoon. Welcome to the 2 p.m. meeting on June 15th of the Portland City Council. Before we call the roll, as anyone who was here this morning might have noticed, we have the City Council's been attacked by some kind of spring cold, and several of our members are suffering from it, particularly Commissioner Fish, who made it in this morning in person but wants to participate this afternoon by telephone. So pursuant to Portland City Code 3.02025, Commissioner Fish is participating by telephone because of illness. Efforts to inform absent council members of their opportunity to do this have been made, and he's taking advantage of that. Do any of the council members who are physically present object to having Commissioner Fish participate by telephone? Assuming none, then he will be included when you call the roll, please, Carla.
Fish?
As soon as the audio connects him.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Novick?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Hales?
Here. Okay, welcome everyone. Let's take up item number 6S691.
Adopt new and amended supporting documents for an update of Portland's comprehensive plan, accept report of the Citizen Involvement Committee, and amend certain ordinances.
And go ahead and read 692 while you're at it, please.
Adopt a new comprehensive plan for the City of Portland, Oregon, which replaces and supersedes the comprehensive plan adopted with Ordinance 150580 and amend certain ordinances.
So as we get ready to start with first the presentation and then our action this afternoon, I just want to first take stock of where we are. We've worked for a long time as a city to try to grow intelligently. You know, in many ways, I think we wish we didn't have to grow. And we certainly understand, and the Anti-Displacement Coalition was just downstairs celebrating their good work on this comp plan, but also noting the stresses that come from growth and change. But that's what we're trying to do with a comprehensive plan, is manage change to our purposes with all the tools that we have. And this is really a kind of a once-in-a-generation opportunity that falls to us now to act for the next 20 years, to act on what Portland will be like when we're a city of 850,000 people, which is the population that this plan anticipates 20 years from now, which is a daunting number, but nevertheless one that has driven a lot of very hard work by citizens, by activists, by volunteers, and by city staff. I mentioned earlier, you know, these groups come to study Portland. And there's one here today from Brazil, and they asked, you know, how have you sustained this over time? And I said, one, that as far as I can see, one, we have a shared vision of what the city should be like. We disagree on some of the details, but we have a shared vision about compact, walkable growth, livable neighborhoods, access to parks and nature, equity. We have a vision that we try to put into words and then into documents of what we want Portland to be like. And then we have a very strong tradition of citizen activism that pushes the city, as maybe the Bicycle Transportation Alliance did early on in bicycles, or maybe as the Anti-Displacement Coalition has done in their work on this plan, along with many others. And so if we have a secret sauce in Portland, it's because not just those of us that get to make these decisions hopefully make them well, but also because we're being driven and pushed and challenged by citizens who care a lot about planning and who know a lot about planning. So that's a blessing of being involved in Portland. And speaking of those citizens, I want to start by thanking the members of our Planning and Sustainability Commission, the most demanding, time-consuming volunteer job in the city, I think bar none. I think even being on the Portland Development Commission Board pales in comparison to the hours that these folks put in and the complexity of the work they have to do, and sometimes with great controversy. I remember a hearing about some propane thing where there was a few people there to talk to you, for example. So thank you, Planning and Sustainability Commission members. Thank you, neighborhood leaders from across the neighborhood system in the city who have been deeply involved in this, down to the details of lots and blocks, and then thinking about the big picture of the future of their part of the city. And then certainly I want to thank my colleagues, because we have, as a council, put in a great deal of time on this plan. I think we know that that has been worth it because of how carefully we've tried to shape this plan. And then most of all, Susan and your staff, Susan Anderson and your staff, at the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. Great work. We have the best planners in the country, and they happen to work here in the city. And they worked really hard on this plan, and they care a lot. And you can tell by the sometimes passionate discussions that we have in our offices or here in this room as we work through the plan. But it's always a privilege to work with great people, and we have them in BPS. And I want to thank you all for really dedicated work on this plan. And so with that, let me call Susan and Eric forward and others and tell us what we need to do today to finish the job.
So good afternoon, Mayor Hales, commissioners. Thank you so much. I want to just spend a brief amount of time, 5 minutes, and tell you a little bit about my perspective on the plan, and then say a few thank yous, and then turn it back over to you. You know, when we first set out to develop a new comprehensive plan for the city of Portland, first thing we did was look around the world and see who has done the best plans. What are those plans? What can we look to for inspiration? And what we found were plans around the world that focused on land use and transportation and housing and streets and sewers and all of that. And it was at that point that we decided that Portland's plan should really be flipped 180 degrees and that we should focus first and foremost on people and create a framework to help people thrive from East Portland to the West Hills to Portlandia in between. And so that's what we did. We focused on people in all neighborhoods, in all types of businesses, and especially with people who had not traditionally been part of the discussion before. We totally refreshed our public engagement strategy. We broadened our reach. We began to work with people that had not really been a part or had not been inside of this room before, with people of all races, of all incomes, young people, old people, immigrants, small business owners, people with disabilities, and others. And the result of all that work is our new comprehensive plan. So from my perspective, it's a plan that thinks big and focuses small. It's big. It's big with results citywide, looking at new opportunities for housing, for jobs, for affordability, for environmental protection, and more. But it's also small. It's focused down at unique areas and parts of the city, each unique neighborhood, each unique business district, and each unique area that needs protecting, from open space to our prime industrial lands. So as you know, and the mayor just mentioned, one of the primary goals of this comprehensive plan, and really as we work through so many plans in the city, is to have at least 80% of the people in by 2035 being able to live in wonderful, walkable neighborhoods. And these are neighborhoods with a variety of housing types, strong neighborhood business centers, great transit, bike, pedestrian, you know all of that. And we talk about it now as if it's just something that's, it's just how we do it. You know, it's just how we do it here in Portland. But it hasn't always been that way. We took our first steps towards this model back more than three decades ago, with the adoption of the 1980 Comprehensive Plan. It soon became a national and really international model. Many of the things that we love best about our city were set in motion with that plan. And it's amazing, really, the great insight that they had 35 years ago. I'm shortening history here. 35 years ago, and at that time, you know, the city leaders, the community, we paused and took a look at what was happening in Portland and in so many other U.S. cities at that time. People were fleeing, heading to the suburbs. Jobs were heading to the suburbs. Downtown was dead at night. Car was king. You know, it was a different place. And in response, Portland created a plan that really took us in a different direction. And that plan encouraged housing, and it encouraged more businesses downtown in the central city and in our vibrant neighborhood. And so today, it's paid off. It's paid off with a couple hundred thousand more people since 1980, thousands and thousands of new businesses, and dozens of wonderful, wonderful neighborhoods. So it's been a success. And in fact, as you know, it's been such a success that we're now faced with a whole new set of problems and a whole new set of opportunities. We're popular, and that means there's less affordable housing. And we have more traffic congestion, and there's people and businesses that are being displaced. but that popularity also means that we have a lot more opportunities. We have highly educated people who are starting up companies here. We have more innovation. We have creativity. We have the capacity, because of the number of people here and the strength of our community, to actually put resources into protecting the environment and creating a low-carbon economy. And we have the capacity to be a world-class city. So the new comprehensive plan, it reflects all of these changes and all of these challenges and all of these opportunities. It provides a framework for the next 20 years. The plan will help us increase housing supply and affordability. It will help us reduce the need to drive, protect our natural resources, provide for parks and open space, and ensure that there's land for industry and middle-income jobs. And it also branches out in new directions and in many new issues, things like climate change, environmental justice, and better access to technology, things that weren't at all a part of a plan 35 years ago. So the plan before you today is a plan for the next generation. It continues our great planning legacy, and it literally provides a map to the future that we want to see, and it's for a Portland that's equitable, healthy, and prosperous for everyone. So those are my thoughts sort of in terms of all the work that we've done now over many, many years, pulling this all together from very much the big picture down to the plan we have, and now we go back out. We've been big, and now we're down into the details. I just want to close by saying a few thank yous. First, to my lead staff, Eric. You have been the master of content. Without a doubt, you are the most knowledgeable planner in the city, perhaps in the United States. And I want to thank you for that. It has been amazing. Joe, who is on vacation right now, Joe has been the great mediator. Joe brought people to the table, got them to sit down, got to see their commonalities, and help make good decisions happen. Sally, you always reminded us about the importance of a healthy and working river. Sandra, you always reminded us about the rules and keeping the process straight. Tom, you and your team ensured that we got the demographics and all the facts right. Kevin and Mark, your teams brought the plan to life with illustrations, with maps, with graphics, and all the wonderful details of the map app. Eden and Julia, you got the word out and built relationships with all the reporters in the city, teaching them about the details of the comprehensive plan and what goes into making a great plan. Courtney from PBOT and Marie from BES, we couldn't have done this without you. And finally, Deborah, you and your team, the district liaisons, you have been the eyes and the ears on the ground, and you have truly been the heart and soul of this plan. So thank you. And thank you to the rest of my staff who are now watching all this back in the office. I'm not going to name all of you, but each of you had some specific influence on the shape of the plan, and so you truly will have some influence on the shape of the city for the next 20 years. And then I want to thank really what could be considered our extended staff, people like Linda Nedekoven and others, the couple hundred people who were on committees, and I'm not exaggerating, there were more than 200 or 300 people who were on committees over the past 6 to 8 years, building up, building broad policy, and getting down into the details, the policy expert groups, the community involvement committee, and the dozens and dozens of neighborhood land use committees. So thank you all for your insights and your diligence. And finally, I want to thank all of you, my boss and my co-bosses. It's been a long haul, and you listened carefully to hundreds of people at hearings, providing testimony. You spent hours working through the issues at the work sessions. Your staff literally spent weeks and weeks with my staff working on some tough issues, and as we all know, there were some tough issues. You often were required to take a really good idea and balance it with a really good idea and have to make a choice, and that wasn't always easy. So I appreciate that in the end, the decisions that you made together, really, will now be the framework for development in the city for the next 20 years. And I think that's something we can all be proud of. So thank you, especially to you.
Thank you.
That's it.
Okay. Eric?
We might want to tell you the details of where we go next.
Walk us through what we
Yeah, just the technical details of today is to remind you, you're voting on two ordinances. The first adopts the supporting documents, as Carla mentioned in reading the item. That includes the Community Involvement Committee report, the economic opportunities analysis, updates to the buildable lands inventory, growth scenario report, and citywide system plan. The comp plan itself is the separate ordinance, and that includes the policy document, the land use map, the list of significant projects, including portions of the TSP. So that's the two votes you're going to have today on the second reading. And yeah.
Great. Questions? Concerns? Maybe there aren't any at this point.
Maybe just give us the next big steps in terms of once we do this today, what are those other little pieces that Susan alluded to?
Sure. As you know, the Planning and Sustainability Commission continues to work through the early implementation of this plan. And so that includes a number of changes to the zoning code and the zoning map that we believe are necessary to put the spirit of the new plan into code and make it effective. That includes updates to the mixed-use commercial zoning, the campus zoning, a number of residential zoning changes, updates to our community involvement program, and further updates to the TSP. So that's happening now. We expect them to make a recommendation to you this summer. And then we've scheduled some placeholders on your calendar this fall to start working through holding hearings at your level on those implementation measures.
And then you might want to just, not just for our benefit, but for those that are, again, engaged in this and thinking about next steps, talk about some of the other planning projects that are going to be scrolling in over the next 6 months, like the residential infill project.
Either way. Well, so we have, as Eric mentioned, the institutional zoning project, and that's coming through the residential infill project, which is looking at the size of homes, looking at homes that are on smaller lots and how we should be dealing with that, and looking at opportunities for new kinds of housing types within the residential zones that may provide some more opportunities for smaller buildings, ADUs, duplexes, triplexes, and such within our traditional residential communities to allow more people to take advantage of the amazing amenities of many different neighborhoods. Soon after, the Central City Plan, that's beginning to go through. In fact, I think on Monday we will release the draft of that plan. So everything's moving now. We've had to wait for this to come through. You can't adopt all the other bits until you have this in place first. So Central City Plan and residential infill. We also will be starting, or we will be bringing to you, mixed-use zoning plan, looking at our mixed-use zones. So all of that's happening really in the next 6 to 8 months.
The other two I maybe would mention is the residential, multifamily residential project that is also a Metro grant that we'll be initiating in the next 6 months to, similar to how we're overhauling the mixed-use zones, to look at our higher-density multifamily zones. And then also working with Housing Bureau to move as quickly as we can on the inclusionary housing implementation.
So no rest yet.
Not much.
Great. Okay. Questions or any other requests before we take our two votes? Then let us do that, please. Second reading on adopting the supporting documents, 691.
Fish?
Well, thank you for allowing me to participate by phone, and I'm going to reserve my formal comment for the next vote. Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. And then 692 on the plan itself.
Fish.
Well, first, I want to thank the mayor and Susan for their earlier comments because they basically were everything I wanted to say, but said it more eloquently. This is the first and presumably the last time I will have a chance as a member of council to vote on a comprehensive plan, unless I set some kind of record for service. And it has been a wonderful experience. And at the end, I have a number of people to thank. But I've learned a lot. I think it's fair to say that it's brought out the best in Portland. and I'm proud of the final document. And in terms of the comp plan that we're voting on, I believe that it walks a fine line between preserving the character of our neighborhood and planning for new neighbors, that it reflects the needs of institutional partners like universities, hospitals, and the Port of Portland, and also reflects the values of our community partners, including housing advocates, older adults, neighborhood leaders, and environmentalists. I believe it thoughtfully plans for both a growing Portland and an aging Portland, with more options for people to age in place, and a focus on neighborhood centers where people can walk, bike, and take public transportation. It keeps an eye on East Portland to help it thoughtfully grow without displacing the longtime residents in Portland's last affordable neighborhood. And it addresses very thoughtfully two of our most urgent challenges, advancing equity and responding to our housing crisis. I want to begin by thanking my colleagues for what has been a terrific process. And after attending all the meetings and listening carefully, particularly to Commissioner Fritz and Mayor Hales and their questions and comments, I think I'm now ready to get college credit for this experience. Obviously, I want to thank the hundreds and hundreds of community members and groups who showed up to testify or who submitted emails or documents and helped to shape the final product. I think we can say without hesitation that this plan was shaped by the community and reflects the community's values. I want to thank Elders in Action, AARP, H. Grimley Portland, and others for their thoughtful feedback on the case for older adults, in connection with middle housing, drive-throughs, and a host of other important issues. I'm grateful to the passionate neighborhood leaders and environmental voices who helped guide our final decisions on issues ranging from the Broadmoor Golf Course, our open space inventory, our river, and holding West Caden Island harmless. I could not, in my last remarks, resist thanking Joe Rossi, who attended every single hearing.
He's here.
His good stewardship and community-minded approach will make his property an asset for generations to come. As the mayor has done, I'd like to thank the Planning and Sustainability Commission, who worked so hard and provided us with an excellent draft. And that is one of the hardest assignments that we ask volunteers to take up in our community, and we're very fortunate to have such a talented group. I want to thank our attorneys who, on a number of occasions, helped us steer the stay on the straight and narrow, if you will, and guided some of the final language in this document. Of course, special thanks to Susan and Joe and Eric and all the planners who have done such a wonderful job managing this complicated process, educating the council about the various policy choices, and I think deserve a ton of credit for their work. And I don't remember a more complicated process that we've been a part of. And I've just been amazed at the way they managed it and helped us get to this point. And I hope Susan and Joe and Eric and Deborah and Sally and everyone feels as much pride as we have in their work. And finally, I want to thank Jamie Dumphy on my team, who in the course of this has become a minor expert in planning issues. And he's... If I've ever said or done anything during hearings which is thoughtful or intelligent, it's either a complete mistake or it's completely attributable to material he gave to me. So I'm very proud today to be part of a council that gets to adopt this comprehensive plan, and I think it's a very sound vision for a prosperous, equitable, future. And it's a roadmap to a future and a city that I hope to grow old in. And today I'm proud to lend my support for this plan by voting aye.
Councilman?
Well, let me start off by thanking our incredibly engaged community that made this plan what it is today. So many times over the past few years, I've been amazed at the level of knowledge and interest in this plan shown by a diverse array of residents. I'm constantly amazed how many people show up for these hearings and these meetings. The phrase "only in Portland" runs through my mind over and over and over again. I think only in Portland could you generate hundreds of people to talk about some very, you know, at times very arcane, detailed zoning issues. But it shows how much Portlanders do care about the city that we all love. And that, of course, follows into thanking all the planning staff who have been just amazing throughout this process. Susan, Eric, Joe, Deborah, and so many other planners involved. Our city attorneys, Catherine, Lindley, Lauren, Carla, and Sue, our council clerks, have often been amazing as we host these meetings at various locales throughout the city. And all the point people in the council offices who absorbed all the information on behalf of those of us sitting up here at the dais. People like Jamie Dunphy, like Katie, Claire, Matt in my office, Camille. Thank you for all the great work and making our jobs appear smarter. And finally, and I also can't let the Planning and Sustainability Commission go unthanked either. I mean, the effort that they put into this plan, as they do into this job as serving on the Planning and Sustainability Commission, is truly astounding. I am constantly in awe of the amount of time they invest in issues that are so important to our city. So special thanks to all those members. Mike Houck is here in the audience today. Special thanks to Mike. And finally, before I vote, I want to set some markers down for the code packages that are making their way through the Planning and Sustainability Commission and soon to come to us this fall. I think most of you know that I like height. We're a city, and we need to plan for incredible growth, and the incredible growth we will see over the next 20 to 30 years, and a big part of accommodating that growth is to increase the height of our buildings all over Portland. So I think it's a very sound strategy. As I said, I am a supporter of height. Perhaps that's why I like to visit New York City in my spare time. We need more housing, and all height and floor area ratio bonuses should be tied to affordable housing, all of them. This is a huge priority for me, and I will be watching closely to see if any of the bonus programs coming out of the current processes are watered down for affordable housing. I don't like downzoning, as many of my amendments to the plan showed. The last thing we need to do is decrease density in Portland. And to this end, I strongly support middle housing efforts and the idea of utilizing what has been single-family housing zoning over the past 50 years for more flexible uses like multiple accessory dwelling units or courtyard apartments. I hope the effort around this is fruitful, and I will be a strong supporter on the council when these ideas come to fruition in our zoning code. So finally, let me just say that when I was just starting out in college, I wanted to be a city planner. I had no idea really what a city planner did, but I kind of thought the city planner was like, it's like going over to the second floor of the Portland building to that hearing room C where you have that wooden model of the city. And I kind of thought, you know, I want to do that. I want to take this building here and say this should be over here, or we need to make this space here. That's what I thought city planning was. And, you know, I did a couple internships with what was in Metro, or what was now Metro, what was in the Columbia Region Association of Governments, and I soon found out it's a lot more detailed and a lot more sophisticated than sort of just moving wooden models of buildings around saying, this is what the city should look like. And all the people in the planning, Bureau of Planning Sustainability, have even proved that even further. This job is a lot more complicated than I ever thought, and I was probably never cut out to be a planner anyway. But it helps having colleagues who were, like Commissioner Fritz, Mayor Hales. I think you guys were cut out to be planners from day one. You have a great level of understanding and detail. So it really helped having a couple colleagues that really helped bring, maybe I can speak for all, the other three of us, along. And so I just have a lot of respect for the profession and the work, and I look proud, I look forward to living in this city that I feel I have had some small role in helping to create over this for the next 20 years. And I'm pleased to vote aye.
Novick?
First of all, Commissioner Saltzman, you're not always the most talkative member of the council, and it's a delight to hear you hold forth on this issue very eloquently. I first want to apologize for the fact that I've got a lot to say, and I'm also sick and rather incoherent. So I don't know how understandable what I'm about to say is going to be. So I just want to apologize for that in advance. This comprehensive plan reflects an assumption that we are going to have more housing built and different types of housing built in this city. And that raises concerns for a lot of people. I'd like to talk a bit about the advantages of having some more housing and different types of housing built. The biggest challenge we face as a species, along with a lot of other species who are along for the ride with us, is climate disruption. And surprisingly and counterintuitively, I think, having more compact development helps us reduce our carbon emissions. When you have more people living closer together, for one thing, it makes transit more viable, makes it easier for people not to drive. The reason the New York City subway system is economically viable is there's a bunch of people per stop. And also, for example, if it takes 7,000 people, I've been told, to support a grocery store. So if 7,000 people are living within walking distance of each other, a grocery store will spring up that people can walk to rather than drive to. The number of people in my neighborhood are concerned about the idea of having more housing in Multnomah Village. I actually would like to have more people living in Multnomah Village because that increases the odds that a grocery store will spring up that I can walk to. The issue that's on the front of a lot of people's minds, I think most people's minds in Portland now, is housing affordability. And lots of people want to move here, including a fair number of people with high incomes. If we don't allow for more housing to be built, those people will keep on bidding up the price of existing housing beyond the capacity of people, a lot of people who already live here, and more moderate income people who want to move here. But I don't think that there's an unlimited number of high income people that want to move to Portland. So I think if we allow enough housing to be built, we should have room for those high income people and for people with more modest incomes. Let me give you an example. Suppose a couple with kind of an upper middle class income is moving to Portland, and they look at the Inner East Side and they like it and they like to live there, but they discover that given the way housing prices and single family homes have gone up there, they can't afford it, even though they have a pretty decent income. If they don't have another option, they might go and buy a house east of 82nd, thus helping to drive up prices there and contribute to the gentrification of East Portland. But if we make it more feasible to build things like, or convert buildings to duplexes and triplexes in their Inner East Side, that same couple might choose to do that, and then they're not driving up prices and contributing to gentrification in East Portland. Of course, we are going to build some affordable housing with tax dollars. In this budget, we made a major contribution of city funds to building affordable housing. But we are not going to address the overall problem of housing affordability just with taxpayer-funded housing. We're going to have to allow for the market to help. Not incidentally, I'd like to take this opportunity to apologize for something I said in the course of these comp plan discussions. Some folks in East Moreland proposed increasing minimum lot sizes in East Moreland. And I jokingly said that that would be creating an R1% zone. And a number of people in East Moreland took offense, and they reasonably interpreted my remarks as suggesting that everybody in East Moreland is in the top 1% and the only one to associate with other 1%ers. And that's not true. The folks proposing that zoning change simply want to preserve their neighborhood. So I apologize. But here's the thing. East Moreland is already changing because of rising prices. Many of the people who live in East Borland now would not be able to buy their own homes at current prices. That neighborhood is gradually transitioning from being an upper middle class neighborhood to, yes, in fact, a wealthy neighborhood. And that's happening all over the city. My wife and I make a very good income, but if Zillow is to be believed, the house that we bought in Multnomah Village just 3 years ago would be beyond our reach today. And the concern I had about the proposed downzoning in East Borland is that if we increase minimum lot sizes, I think we're further limiting who can live in parts of Portland to people who can afford big lots. To some extent, there's a conflict between our desire to preserve the look, the physical look of our neighborhoods, and our desire to preserve Portland as a place where people with a wide range of incomes can afford to live, to some extent. But I don't think that conflict has to be a duel to the death. If you walk through the Buckman neighborhood, you see a lot of duplexes and triplexes and garden apartments that fit in well with the single-family homes in the neighborhood. In fact, with some of them, you have to look closely to realize this is a duplex, not a single-family home. That density does not have to be ugly. That's one of the reasons I'm really passionate about allowing for more middle-density housing, because we don't want apartments everywhere, and not everyone wants to live in an apartment, but as the price of single-family homes in this area goes up, I think we need to allow for other options that are compatible with their neighborhoods. A number of other sub-points that I wanted to address, some of which are duplicative of what my colleagues have already said and will say. The anti-displacement provisions we incorporated into the plan are important to ensure we keep Portland open to all. The council supported all the measures proposed by anti-displacement PDX for the final plan. I congratulate them for their effective advocacy. In fact, I just had an opportunity to re-present the Spirit of Portland Award to the Anti-Displacement PDX Coalition, which rejected it when we first proposed it because they wanted to see if we actually would incorporate their proposals into the plan. We must keep our focus on displacement. Implementation will be the true test of those policies, and I know that the folks in Anti-Displacement PDX will come back again and again to keep the pressure on. I'm glad that we adopted the middle cargo forecast and the economic opportunities analysis. I was concerned when we saw the draft plan would use the low cargo forecast because of the signal that could send to harbor businesses that in some cases employ many people in good middle wage jobs. New analysis by staff showed that we could increase capacity on some lands and move the low to the middle cargo forecast. That sets a course for continued investment in the economic engine that is the harbor. I was pleased, I think Commissioner Fish already said this, that we maintained the Planning and Sustainability Commission's recommendation to preserve Broadmoor Golf Course as open space. Broadmoor is a unique ecological resource that should be preserved as habitat. I was pleased that we adopted a transportation strategy that prioritizes design of the right-of-way for pedestrians and cyclists, staying the course we've been on and how we invest in our transportation network. The transportation strategy is critical as our population grows and we're making those investments. We need to make investments in infrastructure that make it safe and easy to walk and bike for short trips, opening up capacity for longer trips by transit and car. And I'm pleased that we prioritized disability accessibility as its own policy in Chapter 9. Thanks to my colleagues for supporting those important policies. And of course, the Bureau of Transportation project list identifies multimodal projects that address the needs of pedestrians, bicyclists, transit users, freight movers, and motorists. The list of investments is needed to maintain existing facilities and ensure the system meets the needs of Portlanders for decades to come. Finally, I like my colleagues, I have a long list of people to thank for their participation. Thanks to all of the advocates and community members who took time to testify during this process, in many cases coming to repeated long meetings and waiting until they finally got a chance to speak. And we also received a mountain of written testimony. Thanks for everybody who took the time to weigh in any way. Thanks to my colleagues for their engagement and discourse throughout this process. As Commissioner Fish said, I think we've learned a lot together. Commissioner Saltzman said the same thing. And special thanks to Mayor Charlie Hales for his leadership and vision. I remember reading Charlie Hales' exit interview as a city commissioner at Willamette Week in 2002, where he said that it's important to have people on the council who think about what the city physically looks like. And I'm glad that he came back to lend his vision on how a city should look in this important process. Thank you, Mayor Hales. thanks to the Planning and Sustainability Commission, especially former Chair Andre Baugh, to Chris Smith for his advocacy for smart transportation planning, as well as open data and digital equity, and to Howard Shapiro for his commitment to the public involvement process. And all of the PSC members served on policy expert groups and were essential in bringing this plan over the finish line. Thanks so much to BPS staff for their calm and consistent leadership on this very big project. Thanks to Susan Anderson, Joe Zender, Eric Engstrom, and Deborah Stein in particular. And if I weren't sick, I'd come up with some joke about returning to Zender later on, but since I'm sick, I haven't been able to come up with it. Thanks to PBOT staff for their contribution on the TSP and transportation policy notes of this plan, especially Director Treat, Art Pierce, Courtney Duke, Peter Hurley, and Zeph Wagner. And thank you so much to to make me understand issues that were far too complicated for my small brain. Congratulations to everybody, and as people have said already, we have a lot of work left to do, but this is a great milestone, and it's an honor to be here with all of you. Aye.
Fritz.
Our speeches are even longer than usual today because this indeed is a milestone for all of us, and it's a huge undertaking that does, as Commissioner Fish said, only happen once in a lifetime or once in a career. So thank you to the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability staff for making the most of your once-in-a-career opportunity to shape Portland until 2035. I'm going to start my remarks by thanking Grandma and Grandpa Fritz. And the reason I'm going to thank them is because 20 years ago, then Commissioner Hales asked me to be on the Planning Commission, and I would not have been able to do that with children ages 6, 8, and 10 if Grandma hadn't come over to watch them so that I could spend hours and hours at the Planning Commission. So I really appreciate that this, for many people, there's a lot of sacrifices that go into the long hours that the staff work, both in the bureaus and in our offices and in the community, that it's not easy to get to public hearings and to take time to send in cogent testimony and to just trust that it might be read, even though you don't know whether it would be or not. And people did, and we did read it, and we did consider it. One of my formative experiences was when the Metro President Judy Wires said there's no point in having a public hearing if it doesn't matter what the public says when they show up. And certainly when people came and people testified and people sent in their written comments, staff did an amazing job of coordinating it, and we, I think, have done a good job of sifting through it. There are probably some mistakes in this plan. I would think that none of us could be 100% sure we got absolutely 100% of everything right. One of the reasons I find such joy in planning is, for the most part, you can go back and fix things if you discover errors or if we discover errors. I also want to thank Mayor Tom Potter for doing the Bureau Improvement Project, including Community Connect, which is one of the main reasons that we had such a diversity of folks participating in this plan, that all of us in the cities have been thinking over the years of who's not at the table, who needs to be, empowering not only the Anti-Displacement Coalition, but also young people, Coalition of Communities of Color, all kinds of folks who participated in this plan, and the Public Involvement Advisory Committee, who helped with the reshaping of Chapter 2, the Community Engagement Chapter, which I'm particularly proud of. I thank Sam Adams for his work on the Portland Plan, and that was 4 years of really hard work, too, following on from Mayor Potter's Bureau Improvement Project, and now Mayor Hales with this as the signature achievement, I would postulate, of your administration to bring this comp plan home with 6 months to spare, so we've got plenty more time to do more, right? One of the things that's in it that I most treasure, of course, is protecting West Haden Island, which I hope we have locked up, and I'm grateful to the voters of Portland to give me another 4 years to be vigilant on that, because that's something that could come back again, and I'm glad that I'll be here to do that. I need to state that I was disappointed that I didn't succeed in one aspect, which is to specify that parking can be a key function of the public right-of-way, particularly in street vacations. And I understand that additional components of the system's development plan, including the glossary and street design classifications, which don't currently have parking listing, will be coming to council this fall, and at that time I will be interested to see parking as an important function of streets and a consideration for street vacations. And I know that we all have a vision for more biking and more walking and less cars in our city, and that's going to be necessary in order to avoid even more congestion and to get the climate action plan goals met. there are many people in our city who live far away from public transportation who cannot use, they don't have bike lanes or sidewalks, and they cannot use those modes of transportation. For them, it would be a privilege to be able to walk and bike to work, and it's a privilege that they don't have. So in the meantime, we must ensure that parking is a consideration because this is an important equity issue. In addition to all the other thank yous, and I won't repeat them all, I want to thank our park staff, Brett Horner in particular, put a lot of time and effort into this. Office of Neighborhood Involvement, Amalia Alcantara-Morris, and Public Involvement Advisory Committee. Camille Trummer and Jackie Dingfelder on the mayor's staff were absolutely essential in doing a lot of the behind-the-scenes work. My staff, Claire Adamsick and Pooja Bhatt, were absolutely phenomenal. I could not have been better served by my staff and also by two chiefs of staff, Tom Bazo and Tim Crail, who also have been huge in coordinating all the many changes that we got in this plan to, I believe, make it even better. Thank you so much for all of your work, and thank you to our community for all the work that you've done on this. Aye.
Hales.
Well, Commissioner Fish postulated that he probably won't be involved over a 25-year span in planning work like this, but of course I've already been outed as somebody who actually has. I was here in the early 90s when we were adopting big planning documents, sort of, if you will, trial efforts at what we're doing here today, things like the Albina Community Plan and the Outer Southeast Community Plan and Southwest Community Plan. And at a time when there's so much negative noise about government, I think it's important to look at our situation here today and realize that progress is possible. You know, there's newspaper editorials that make government look bad. There was one infamous editorial in a local paper that quoted me using the word placemaking in quotes as if it was some airy notion that I'd made up instead of something, a word that every planner or neighborhood activist understands. We have political candidates who make government look bad and ineffective and feast on that. And, of course, we have the Twitterverse where people expect to have things like the comprehensive plan explained in 140 characters, and you just can't. Sorry, I'm not smart enough to be able to do that in 140 characters. So there's, you know, in the background of maybe some of those negative notes, you know, progress really is possible, and that we've gotten better at this, better than we were in the Outer Southeast Plan or the Albina Plan or the Southwest Plan. And we should acknowledge that we've all gotten better at this as we've gone along. And we should remember that it sounds conceited for modest Portlanders to say this, but we're the best. I mean, the whole world comes here to study us. They don't come to all those other cities to study them. They come here. We're the only city that has a first stop, Portland, and the only city that needs one. And when you talk to planners or colleagues in the rest of the country, they say, oh, you're from Portland. Now, they're mostly celebrating what we've done in new urbanism, the ability to take an old rail yard and make it into a neighborhood, or to take the South Waterfront, transform it into a medical research powerhouse and neighborhood at the same time, the ability to figure out these difficult questions of infill and transit and all the rest. But the part of Portland that I always try to remind people about, and it was a very, very big factor for me in this plan, and then the remaining work we will do this year, on things like the residential infill project, is that we also need to remember that we're the best for old urbanism. Other cities have a few neighborhoods, like Laurelhurst or Arbor Lodge or Eastmoreland or Westmoreland or Ladd. Other cities have a few of those neighborhoods. Thanks to an amazing boom of craftsmanship in the early 20th century, we have a fabric of old urbanism that's unmatched in the country. I've had the chance to work all over the country in my career as a consulting transportation planner, and nobody's got this. We've got it. We'd be crazy to lose it. So the work of historic preservation, which has been partially advanced by this plan, needs to continue to be at the front of our effort. Yes, we need to accommodate density, and we're doing that in this comp plan, but we also need to preserve the great old buildings, perhaps repurpose them, because we're in a big old house that's too big for us. It might be thoughtfully rebuilt into a duplex, but for God's sake, don't lose that built craftsmanship if we can possibly keep it. So that work is ongoing. So we have gotten better at this, and we've gotten better at it because some things that are always good about Portland have been especially good in this process. We've had neighborhood activists that have been deeply involved. Linda, Walter, Stan, others here, you've put a lot of time into this. We've had activists like like the Anti-Displacement Coalition or housing activists like Diane Lynn, who've been on us the whole way about making sure we get this right. We've had activist planning commission members like Mike Houck, who never let us forget the environment. Between him and Commissioner Fritz, I have no worries about Hayden Island in the future. So we've had people that have really worked hard to make sure that this plan is a good one. And it's just in time. You know, they say that about just-in-time delivery. I think this plan is just-in-time delivery. In a week when we found out that the average housing price has risen above $400,000, when we've gotten the dubious honor of having the fastest year-over-year housing price growth of major cities in the country at 11%, when we have a downtown office vacancy rate that's single digits, and there are small digits at that, you know, we're booming. We had 1,000 people a month move to Portland in the last year. So the need for this plan is acute. We're doing it just in time. And so I'm very, very happy that among the other reasons that I decided to not run for another term was to be able to pour myself into this work, and I have, and I'm glad of it. And then finally, I'm especially glad of not only the other folks that have worked so hard on this, but of being very well advised in my office by a couple people that have already been mentioned. Jackie Dingfelder, who's possibly awake in New Zealand and watching this on her computer, and Camille Trummer, who had the difficult job of not only succeeding Jackie Dingfelder in this work, but also having to work for a planner wonk as mayor. So, Camille, you've done wonderfully well and proven yourself as a great planner, and I appreciate your good counsel every step of the way in this plan. Thank you very much. Aye. It's done.
We suspend the rules in class.
Let's suspend the rules. We're recessed for a few minutes. Nice job. Thank you, Amanda. Congratulations.
I'm shaking with this hand today.
All right. Well done, Eric.
Thank you.
Bravo.
I don't have any say in the matter. That's why we